This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League and the Champions League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and this is a live special Two Robbies podcast here in Philadelphia, right outside City Hall, and we have a very special guest. Thanks for joining, Mr. Ian Wright.
Thanks, Robbies.
Mr. Ian Wright's an Arsenal legend, Robbie Musto. He's also a Hall of Fame inductee, Robbie Musto. He's also a football ambassador, Robbie Musto. His name is Mr. Ian Wright, right.
Absolutely right.
Thanks, guys.
Righty, we're going to start with Arsenal.
Yes.
Because you're top of the league.
Yep.
You've won 9 games out of 10. You've got the job done today. Maybe not as pretty as other times. What's different about this Arsenal this time around?
Balance. They've got a balance. He's got the team he wants now in the way he wants to play. What Jesus and Zinchenko give us is amazing. Not just the way they play. They're both like two players each in two different positions. Like Jesus does that left and centre forward. And he does them both better than Lacazette and Aubameyang used to do them in the two positions. And Zinchenko could do that left side and that midfield. And then the experience they bring as well. And then all that's done now is kind of... Xhaka, because he's now pushed more further forward. Then you've got Ødegaard, who's got that, and Thomas Partey, that lovely back. It's just like there's balance all the way through the team and the way they want to play. Now, all I'm seeing with Arsenal now is that they're playing with a lot of confidence. It's changed at the ground now. The fans are involved, the Ashburton army. And what's happening is they're just so confident. Because what would happen before is people put a lot of pressure on Thomas Partey or Ødegaard, and then they won't be able to get the ball into those areas to get our forwards going. But now they're playing with confidence. One touch, bam, 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 and they're getting through people. And they're showing resilience when they go away to a place like Leeds, who haven't lost there all season.
Can you give us a sort of sense of the surprise, maybe, of the quality of William Saliba and what he's done defensively? Right, I mean, he's changed that back four, hasn't he?
Rob, I can't... We knew that he was a good player because they got, I think, him and Fofana from the same place, Saint-Étienne, right?
Yeah.
And when Fofana came over, Leicester put him straight in at 18. And we were all saying, well, why can't Saliba go in? They were playing together, them two. And we're thinking, wow, that must have been some centre-half pairing. But then we let him out on loan, and we let him out on loan again, and then they let him out on loan again. And so we're thinking, well, if he's good enough, when are we gonna get him? And then obviously in his last season at Marseille, you know, he's young player of the year. He's broke into the national team. And when you watch him now, apart from the Liverpool game, where you see him step. You remember when you saw him step inside? It was really strange. It's the only mistake I've seen him make for a 21-year-old. But honestly, we're all very surprised. But at the same time, we're pleasantly surprised because he is by far one of the best players, the centre-halves in the Premier League at the moment.
Right, you talk to me a little bit about Bukayo Saka, because I read somewhere that he's got two heroes, you and Thierry Henry. He's just developing his game. And just onto that, are you involved at all? Do you mentor any of these young stars now?
The thing is, I speak to him a lot, you know, especially like DM stuff and just like WhatsApp stuff, and you just speak and just keep people going. You know, I mean, obviously after the Euros, it was a really tough time for him. It's a very sensitive time for him with everything what went on. But like the way I remember he said to me, I'm gonna tell them I want to take penalties. And I said, do that. Yeah. Do it. I said, you step up for that first one. You make sure that you're ready. You do your practice the penalties. Know the penalty you're going to take. Know your second penalty. Because you can't just have one. You've got to have a second. And I said, know that. But like, he has got no problem in taking that responsibility. And remember, if things went the other way for him, just imagine, he could have been the one that scores the winning penalty for England to win the Euros. That's the responsibility
and
the esteem. And the esteem that they hold him in. So, of course, you speak to all of them. Martinelli, you speak to all of those guys. They all at some stage will get in touch. But I'm just pleased. I'm just pleased to be a fan of Arsenal right now, and the way Mikel, with the patience and with the owners, they've given him the opportunity. But to get the team what he wants.
Listen, I know I've heard you say earlier today about what they might do this season.
And I know what you're going to say. Top four was the, was the kind of the target. But how long... I mean, four-point gap now, the way that they're playing, it doesn't look like they're going to lose a game or drop many points. Mm. Percentage chance that in May, they're right up there close to the very, very top. Yeah. What do you reckon? Do you think they can keep going right into that long?
Well, what we saw last season, we could have gone into that... We could have got into the Champions League if we'd beaten Tottenham then Newcastle. And what I think we saw there was naivety and a little bit of inexperience. I think they learned a lot from that. But you know what? I'd love to see us now... Now we're 4 points clear. They know what they've got to do. You know what you've got to do? You've got to win your next game, make sure that away from home, you don't lose it. Because what we've seen with City and Liverpool is that they've both been able to, right, we've done our bit, let's see what they do next week. So now we've got to see what Arsenal do next week in their next league game, because they've got to keep the pressure on, because then City have to keep winning. So we've not seen Arsenal in this scenario. No. So this is where it gets interesting. This is where, as a fan, you're very excited about it, because going to Leeds, I was thinking, I'll take a point. Main thing is not to lose, but to win, and then City lose like that. That's how the league gets exciting. That's an amazing game today.
Yeah, it's a brilliant story for the league. Brilliant for Arsenal and Mikel Arteta.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Let's move it to Anfield, where the big game was this weekend. Yeah. All eyes was on Liverpool. Former pros have been talking like Liverpool are broken, they can't fly anymore. All that came out. And then we saw Liverpool. What was at the base of Liverpool winning today? What was the most important thing they had to do today?
I think there's a much more together and a belief about them. But one of the things I saw more than anything else was Mo Salah being more inside.
He played as a striker. He played right at the top. Yeah.
Being more inside. I thought that the start of the season, you've seen him and he's been very wide, almost too wide. Yeah. You know, not being able to get across.
Trent's been coming inside
Exactly. Yeah. So he's leaving space, whereas Mo Salah should be in and where he is. Because, like, the goal what Liverpool scored... It's all about, we know that Alisson can make that pass for him, but it's poor play from Cancelo. We have to make that right. But Mo being there is what enabled him to be able to get the mistake out of Cancelo. I think that Liverpool, they just seemed a little bit more compact to what they were doing. Yeah. And obviously at Anfield, with the energy and what they were doing, and let's make no mistakes, City missed some great chances. I think Erling Haaland had some really good chances. The header... The one when he miskicked it because he's a little bit too far away from it. But they had chances as well. But I thought that Liverpool were a lot more compact in what they were doing, especially defensively. I think Gomez done very well today.
Yeah. Gomez and Van Dijk, I thought, were superb dealing with
Milner didn't do too much wrong.
He done well. Because you would have thought that that's somewhere they would have targeted, but he done well.
Do you know what's interesting? I think the Mo Salah conversation is interesting because when Darwin Nunez plays, he wants to play as a nine and he wants to run in behind.
Yeah.
You know, before you think about last season, Firmino's dropping deep.
Yeah.
Mo Salah's coming inside,
so
and Mane's doing the same
spaces.
Thing. So he's taking the space. Yeah. So he's probably going to stay wide because Nunes is making that move. Nunes came into the game on the left-hand side. Yeah. Salah stayed up there.
Yeah.
And he could have had two goals. He went through twice. So that maybe is something. Maybe we'll see Mo Salah play as a nine more often.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Nunes then.
Yeah, well, he plays. Interested in this one, right? Because you were obviously a great goal scorer. We all played against you. We all had our moments. But when Mo Salah's on... A not very good run. You've gone two, three, maybe four games without a goal. He's a striker. Are you thinking about working harder? Or are you thinking about just being in the spot? What goes through a striker's mind in those situations?
In those situations, what you've got to do, Robin, you speak to Al, you speak to any of the strikers, you've just got to keep doing the things what get you into the positions to score. Because what happens is if you stop going in there, that's when you will lose confidence. Because when you get into the position, you're a bit afraid. You've got to still do the same things in training. You've got to be not... It's a really tough one because you can't be afraid to miss. It's like, for instance, you look at Mo. Yes, he scored the goals against Rangers, but he's not scored the goals that we've seen up to this point. No. So when he goes through in that first one, what was a magnificent save from Edison, which people didn't realise. They thought he missed it. So when he goes through for the second one, from the distance, there's a lot to think about.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I see from Mo and what you see is a world-class striker that's like, I'm in total control of this situation. And what he does, every single touch up to... Edison was brilliant. So what happens is that the goalkeeper, you remember, has got to be, and this is what you have to look at. goalkeepers are looking for you to make the touch where they can come out and...
Yeah, bounce.
He didn't make any bad touches. So in the end, it looked like a very simple finish. And what you've got to do in training is that, firstly, you can't be afraid to miss, and then you've just got to keep doing what you do. Yeah. It's very simple.
Yeah.
Just swinging it over to Manchester City, Ian, I think it's still probably everybody's favourites to win the title this year, and people have said it's like they're going to, you know, everybody else is playing for second place. Liverpool could have had three or four goals today. Yeah. Now, we've had this chat on this on our podcast, and of course they've been dominant in the Premier League, but in the Champions League, my kind of point is they just they leave themselves vulnerable at the highest level against the best players. They give up chances. And, of course, the latter stage of the Champions League, there's great teams out there, and they get punished.
Mm.
I guess it's more of a Champions League question, but are they ever going to change that? Is he ever going to be a little bit more defence-minded at certain moments in certain games to get what the desired outcome?
I don't know, Rob, simply because we've seen in the past Pep tinker around with his team.
Yeah.
I personally do not feel that the defence, what he's got, whichever two he puts out, are good enough at the highest
very,
level
very highest,
against
highest.
The highest level to be 2-on-2 at the back like that.
I
thought, like, you see Cancelo coming in and making that mistake. In the Champions League, you will be punished. We know that they've got Erling Haaland up the top now, who will score goals out of nothing. Like I say, should have scored today. But defensively, if they leave themselves that bare, they will be punished. And we've seen that. We've seen that before.
Every season.
And that's the thing. We know that they've got Erling Haaland. He started amazingly. But when you get to the top end with them, that Champions League, you can't make the mistakes, the amount of mistakes they made today. Liverpool should have scored a couple.
Let's just talk generally about the league before we wrap it up here and get your thoughts on Philadelphia. But you said something interesting. We were having a beer the other night, and you said something interesting that really stuck with me when you said, if I was playing now, you'd get frustrated, or because you were a gambler who looked you like to go over the top and get played in it, and that's not the way football's played now.
Not now.
Would you fit in? Would you actually change your game? Would you still have got the goals you got?
Well, the thing is, one thing, Rob, I wouldn't be able to do that inverted striker thing. Thierry kind of like came and done. I'm a straight up number nine
down the
striker
middle,
playing off the big guy or whatever it is. And my main asset was the pace and running and bending that run and making that run. And when I'm looking, this is why with the VAR, it's like it's a nightmare for me. And I think they probably take away half of my goals because the runs you have to make, you're looking for. You're bending your run with your body still shaking, and now you can get called offside with your shoulder and stuff like that. So when I see it now, I look at Rob, I think, I'm not going to do as well as I've probably done. I don't think I would have.
Also, I think teams and midfield players don't look for that ball over the top that they used to. So you're going to do your runs.
Yeah, and you
don't
get it. You're
going to get fed up because the ball isn't going to come.
It's not coming. So, like I say, Rob, it would have been difficult for me to play in this time.
Listen, we could speak to you all night. We just got to get your thoughts on your first fan fest, Philadelphia, soccer here, football here in the US.
You know something? I'm a massive, massive fan of the fans here because they're so committed. You've seen what it's like yesterday and today, how committed they are, the queues, what time they're queuing up from, how much love they've got for their team, the love they've got for every other, like me and Al, you know what I mean? You know, I've got Tottenham fans, West Ham fans, Chelsea fans just giving pure love. It was really nice to be a part of it. And, like, with Philadelphia, I remember, like, people saying, oh, you're wearing, like, the Philadelphia Eagles. I watched a film called Invincible, Mark Wahlberg, about Vinny Pagliari. And it was where they just picked a guy out of the streets, gave him trials. He ended up playing for the Philadelphia Eagles. So I like the Philadelphia Eagles because of that. Mm. But I didn't realise, like, you know, it was the place of brotherly love and everything. Yeah. And so when you come and it was everybody's all brilliant and all the fans are all great and I didn't expect it to be as nice as it's been. You know what I mean? Because in England you can't do that. You can't have that many fans congregated and feel not anxious. You know what I mean? So it's been magnificent. It's something I tell you. Watching you guys doing the work is too chaotic, man. I'd rather watch it than be on the show.
Well, it was better because of you being here.
Thank you, Mr.
Ian Wright.
The Robbies, I love
pleasure,
you.
Pleasure,
pleasure. Thank you.
The legend in the team, Wright.
Cheers, guys. You're the best.
Listen, we'll be back with our next podcast midweek on Wednesday when there's a big match, Manchester United play Spurs. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musty. This was our special guest, Ian Wright. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's a good night from him.
Good night.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.